Now, you might have heard, you might hear from Unitarian Universalist ministers, occasionally we talk about it, that we are all too often in our heads. Well, especially the Unitarians. Some folks might have said that the Universalists were more in their hearts and the Unitarians were more in their heads, and then we merged in 1961. And what's the name of our faith? Unitarian Universalist. Well, the Unitarians might have been happy because they're first. But I heard that the Universalists were happy because they were the noun and the Unitarian was the modifier. On the other hand, many people believe that the Unitarians dominated and Universalism was subsumed into the Boston Brahmin culture of wealth and academia. I actually think it's balancing out these days with the emerging spirituality in our faith, not based on a supernatural God, but a spirituality that still brings us out of ourselves into beloved community, connecting us to something much larger than our own lives. So that's the head-heart tension that can live within our faith. But I'm here today to talk about our bodies. We live in these bodies every day, every moment, but we forget them all the time, don't we? I do. If you are temporarily abled, you can really forget them, because that is a privilege that most of us will one day realize at some point, how we can take our bodies and our abilities for granted. It's different from our skin color, which we're born into, but our bodies, which are so perfect in their imperfections, in so many shapes and sizes and differences. And many of us will live into less ability through the simple fact of aging and time. Or we will have our lives turned upside down in an instant, a fall, an accident, or an illness, and then suddenly our bodies can no longer do what they used to do. So many of you use your bodies in a very physical way at work. You might be wait staff or a driver of a bus or your own car for Lyft. Your work might be very physically demanding as a laborer or construction worker, facilities and housekeeping, a dancer or a personal trainer. You know then how much your body carries you through your working day and through your working life. And I wonder how much you appreciate your mind in those hours, those moments, your intellect in all that physicality in your days. If your work is primarily intellectual, I wonder how you stay in touch with your body throughout your working days. Whether you forget it and it suffers as a result, whether you have strategies to help you remember to pay attention, to move, to appreciate. And then, of course, we're not always at a regular for pay working job. We also have significant physical and mental work outside of our vocations, the work of our home lives, the organization of our households, recreation and vacation, travel, and the great outdoors. I recently heard a secular person translate the word God using the acronym Great Outdoors, and I thought that would work for a lot of Unitarian Universalists. We're heading into the election season, and I'll be talking about that in a bit. Now, there is some physicality as well as mental and intellectual work in the same endeavor, canvassing and phone banking and collecting signatures and influencing people. The campaign trail can be very taxing. So I just want to bring a reminder today for infusing in our work as much as we can with body, mind, and spirit. The spirit that is that intangible, non-material aspect of life above and beyond the intellect, that realm that brings meaning and fulfillment into the embodied hours of our days. Because we live our lives in these bodies, these wonderful, imperfect, unpredictable, decaying, and glorious bodies. And this is a way that we can honor our first principle, the inherent worth and dignity of each person. It includes each one of us as well. So whatever work I'm doing, whether it's at the computer or in the garden or at the workbench or at the kitchen sink, I always appreciate reminders to appreciate my hands. So just let us look at our hands right now. Your hands do so much for you. Touch the skin, one hand to the other. Do you ever massage your own hands? It is a wonderful practice. So take a moment now and think of a time when your hands were a gift to you, and perhaps a gift to someone else as well. Think of a time, and I invite you now to share with your neighbor. And if you're too far apart, you can just scooch over for just a minute and find a neighbor for just a brief memory, an appreciation of your hands, a memory that you have. Just briefly, one and then the other. I used to love my hands because I can type really fast. If you haven't switched, go ahead and switch now so you can. It's hard to stop sometimes. Yeah. So my assumption, I have an assumption about the memory that came to you when your hands were a gift to you. My assumption is that this was a time when you had control over yourself. You had control over your own body. You had agency over your own life in that moment. Your body moved as an extension of your will. Does that make sense? Nods, yes. So too many times in this glorious world in which we live that can be so cruel, too many times people do not have agency over their own bodies. They don't control their actions. Marginalized people, especially those with less power, that includes children, and that's complicated, I know, but it's real. How often dignity is too often lost when one doesn't have control over their own lives in very significant ways. People, women, raped, domestically violent relationships have lost agency over their own bodies. Victims of crime, whenever anyone is forced against their will. People of color in interactions with law enforcement. Now, I'm leading into the November ballot here. Moving from seeing our bodies and remembering our bodies as the gifts that they can be to a recognition of the cruelty and the trauma of losing control of our physical selves against our will. So here's a question. Who knows about Amendment A that will be on the statewide ballot in November? Anybody know about Amendment A? So it's really good I'm here. So Amendment A, to abolish slavery in the Colorado Constitution. Unitarian Universalist ministers in Colorado, along with a broad interfaith effort, encourage you to vote yes on Amendment A to abolish slavery in the Colorado Constitution. So did you know that slavery is still legal in this state? Here in Colorado, right in our Constitution, it is true. The section that addresses slavery, written after the Civil War, states, "There shall never be in this state either slavery or involuntary servitude, except as a punishment for a crime." So slavery is legal in Colorado for more than a century. Our state constitution has preserved the right of the state to enslave people as punishment for a crime. At the recent campaign launch down in Denver, Jumoke Emery spoke. He is a Black man and was a community organizer for Together Colorado in 2014 when he was wrongfully arrested at gunpoint outside his office. He wasn't able to pick his daughter up from school that day, and no one knew where he was. He spent several days in jail. And sometimes he was shackled, his hands and his feet. He had done nothing wrong. It was a wrongful arrest. And he said, "I realized then in some small way what it must have felt like to have been a slave. And I realized that this story is not about me, but about slavery and the many who have been arrested and treated like slaves after we have told ourselves hundreds of times that this could never happen again." So on the statewide ballot this fall is Amendment A, which will remove from the state constitution the language which permits slavery in the case of someone who has been convicted of a crime. Now, our Colorado Constitution, it's the foundation of our legal and moral life in this state. And it is important that we remove that language to demonstrate our rejection of this hateful legacy of slavery and to acknowledge our desire to stand against the ongoing reality of racism. Amendment A can be a point of unity and healing in Colorado. 100% of our Colorado legislators voted to have this amendment on the ballot this fall. Senators and representatives, male and female, Democrat and Republican, 100% were united in putting this on the ballot. With so many divisive issues confronting us, it is wonderful to have something that we can readily agree on and which is still very important. You may remember that we had a similar amendment 2 years ago. That was Amendment T in 2016. It narrowly failed in large part because the ballot language was very confusing and the blue book language was very confusing. So the legislature this year unanimously voted again to put the measure on the ballot, and the language is much clearer. So vote yes on Amendment A to abolish slavery in the Colorado Constitution. Now, what will this mean practically to an incarcerated person in Colorado? Does it change or eliminate or affect work programs or community service programs in jails or prisons? No, it does not. There are 23 other states who have no language whatsoever regarding slavery or involuntary servitude in their constitutions, and they have both types of work programs in their departments of corrections. So what does this accomplish? Is it merely symbolic? And I would say no. The Colorado Constitution is not a symbolic document. It is the moral and legal foundation of our state, and slavery has no place in it. Do we have slavery now in Colorado? Yes. Human trafficking is still rampant. Wage theft is a crime that is all too common here. Woo. No form of slavery should be allowed in our state or codified in our laws here in Colorado. There is a Speaker's Bureau for the Amendment A initiative. So think of opportunities you might know of, educational outlets or civic organizations that could benefit more from learning how to get slavery out of our Constitution. The ballot will be jam-packed with other questions, so it is very important that voters are able to identify Amendment A as something they have heard about from people of faith. Because often if you don't know about something on the ballot, you'll just vote no or you just won't vote at all. Now, I was recently listening to Lee McNeil from Denver. She's a member of the Shorter Community AME Church, and she is co-chair to the Abolish Slavery Colorado Steering Committee. As she talked about healing, she said, "I am the great-granddaughter of a slave. My maternal grandfather was the son of a slave, which places me very close in line to slavery. As I reflect on some of the stories told, I am reminded of the cruelty, pain, and suffering that many families witnessed. The Colorado Constitution today," Lee says, "includes antiquated and hurtful language that allows slavery, and this is not a Colorado value. Morally, we all deserve to have dignity and freedom and equality assured to each of us. Our Colorado communities, families, schools, and places of worship must be able to focus on healing. Our state constitution is the moral and legal foundation to our state, and it should reflect our deepest beliefs. It is important to remove this language," she says, "that allows slavery so that it reflects everyone's inherent human dignity. As a person of faith, I believe that removing this language can be just another step in moving forward with a process of healing among our families as we work to end racial division. My mother," Lee McNeil says, "who is 105 years old and is still living, will be very proud and happy if the language of slavery is removed from the Colorado Constitution. She will be voting yes on Amendment A in November." It is hard for me to imagine being in that lineage and that close to slavery. I don't know, but I might have slave owners and or slave traders in my own ancestry. But I saw tears well up in Lee McNeil as she talked about her family and her mother and the healing that it will bring to African Americans with the ancestral trauma of slavery. If we can pass Amendment A and get that language out of the Constitution. So our bodies at work, do we have agency or not? Obviously, someone who is incarcerated lacks control over the vast majority of their daily life. The work programs in Colorado will not be affected directly by removing the exception for slavery in the Constitution. So is it symbolic? Well, a statement signed onto by 23 Unitarian Universalist ministers in Colorado, including Reverend Retchen and Reverend Sean and myself, it reads in part, "The measure will not end prison terms as punishments for crime committed in our state, but it will help us move forward the conversation about what justice truly looks like in our communities. There are many conversations to be had about what justice looks like, but we believe we can all agree, no matter what conclusion we come to about the appropriate measures to address crimes, our response should never include slavery. We belong to a long line of Unitarian and Universalist abolitionists who fought to end slavery in this country almost two centuries ago. So today, with their courageous love to guide us, we continue this work to put an end to all remaining legal language that allows for the enslavement of people. We believe that by changing the way we talk about what prison is and why people are there, we can begin to change the conversations and outcomes and move toward right relationship in our communities. Resources about Amendment A hopefully will be included in the email, the congregational email that comes out early this coming week. So think about our first principle, the inherent worth and dignity of every person, incarcerated or not, each one of you and everyone else. We all do things we don't want to. It might be at work, it might be in our homes, but imagine, if you will, being a slave and having to do it. Being told you are a slave while you have to do it. So perhaps you can imagine a loss of dignity in those circumstances if slavery remains encoded in our Constitution. And perhaps you can imagine the healing if we are to take slavery out of our Constitution. So come back to your hands, my friends, and your body, as it does its good work in the world, as you navigate the complications and challenges of these times, as you bring your whole self, your whole mind, your whole body, and your spirit to all your acts. Marge Piercy tells us, the work of the world is common as mud, botched. It smears the hands, crumbles to dust. But the thing worth doing well done has a shape that satisfies, clean and evident. Beloveds, whether your hands get dirty every hour, whether your mind is engaged in front of a computer, whether your heart races or not, whether your body aches or not, be with people who submerge in the task. As long as you have breath, answer yes to life. As long as vision lasts, answer yes to truth. As long as your heart beats, answer yes to love. Together, in beloved community.